They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets." When he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy splendor, as they went before the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." This is the word of the Lord.
So we're starting a new series today titled Life Tools. Life tools are practices of the faith that help us overcome the challenges, the difficult challenges we face. Life tools help us strengthen our faith and our character during these fiery trials. So here are just a few of the life tools. Forgiveness when we have been hurt. Anybody been hurt and in need of forgiving? Relinquishment when we are worried or afraid. Lament when the pain will not go away. And today we're talking about praise. Praise when things are bad. Now, did you hear that? Praise when things are bad. When things go wrong in my life, my first move is what? To complain or to lament. Realistically, praise when things are bad. In our reading today, however, we see in 2 Chronicles 20, we see Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah praising God when things are really bad. In fact, things could not get any worse. So we learn in 2 Chronicles 17 that Jehoshaphat, and he ruled Judah, the southern kingdom, from 873 to 848 BC, that he was a good king. He was a good king. We read, too, that God had protected him by having no enemies arise against Judah. But in chapter 20, God loosens his sovereign grip. He loosens his sovereign grip against these nations that surround Judah and allows the enemies to come against Jehoshaphat and Judah. I believe for the testing and the strengthening of their faith and their character. So we read, if your Bibles are open, we read in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 and 2. After this, the Moabites, and this is after the reforms, by the way. You know, reform, bringing the word of God, the law of God back into the people, applying it to their lives so they can live out faithfully according to God's law. So after these things, after they've been kind of a renewal of faith, this testing is going to come. This testing comes. So we read in then chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Muites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. Already they are at Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." Jehoshaphat was afraid. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He had good reason to fear this vast multitude, this gathering storm, which was coming to kill the people, rape the women, and plunder all of Israel's valuable resources. How can one praise God given such a deadly threat? I invite you to take out this insert. Again, as I mentioned, the life tool, the practice of praise. That first item, it says, list some things going wrong in your life right now or that are less than ideal. Are there some things that are going wrong or have happened in your life? Or are there situations that are less than ideal? Can you write down one or two right now even? Just take a moment. Just take just a brief moment. It might be something just glaring. Just write it down. If I had my pen, I would do so. I know a few things I would write down in particular. So just, we'll have those hang on to this. We'll refer back to this. Given these formidable foes, challenge, the less than ideal situations, I ask you, given your reality, how can I praise God given some of these things? How can we avail ourselves to the power of God and God's deliverance? We're going to look first at our reading and see what Jehoshaphat did, then we will come back to this and press more deeply into the life tool of praise, so hang on to that. So back to our reading, the first thing we learn that Jehoshaphat did with this gathering storm, if you will, verse 3, as I mentioned, Jehoshaphat was afraid. Continuing, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, from all the towns of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. I mean, what a model. Can you imagine? Resurrection. We're facing a great challenge. Let's all gather together in this place and just beseech and seek the Lord. It really is, you know, an exercising a dependence upon God and looking to God in faith and trust. Yes, we manage forward, but the first move is what? Seek God, both personally and corporately. You know, when our lives are threatened, when our faith is threatened, when our marriages, the mortality of our children is threatened, or when we are threatened by any of Satan's devices, seek the Lord. Talks about a fast. That's, you know, withholding food, to really focus ourselves more spiritually, you know, kind of an intention. God, I'm really intent on seeking your face, seeking your will, proclaimed a fast. What an incredible model we have of what to do and how to pray. He begins by ascribing to God sovereign power. He says then in verse 5 and 6, O Lord God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Do we trust that God is all-powerful? I mean, how often do we pray? Our God, our Father in, the Lord's prayer, our Father in. I mean, we're trusting in Abba Father, our Father. But when we say in heaven, we're trusting in the sovereignty of God. You know, Lord of hosts, that God rules over all those heavenly beings, that God also rules in this earth. Our God, our Father in heaven. As we start our praise, or excuse me, our prayers with adoration and ascribing to God's sovereign power and might, it really does, again, kind of kindle the embers of faith. You know, we start to, you know, increase in faith and ascribing to God, then, you know, power and glory to God, strength and hope begin to at least well up rather than just begin with the problem, begin with God. What does Jehoshaphat do next? He then gives an example in 7 and following. He gives an example of how God drove out the inhabitants of the promised land before the people of Israel. Remember, there was giants in the land. They were afraid, but God was faithful. God drove out those inhabitants so that people could inhabit the promised land. Think about your life. Think about your life. The challenges you faced over the years. Let me ask you, as you reflect, as you think, has God been faithful? Has God been present? Has God seen you through when, you know, made a way when it seemed there was absolutely no way? When you pray, ascribe to God God's power, but also reflect on ways that God has been there to deliver and save. In verses 8 and 9, and then they talk about how a sanctuary, Jehoshaphat does, was built and dedicated to God's name. And always vowed to seek help from God in that place. Again, that sense of corporate, you know, individual, yes, but corporate. Coming before God and seeking the very face, the very heart of God. And then in verses 10 and 11, again, he refers back to 20 and the forces of Israel, the forces that are against Israel, you know, this vast multitude, this gathering storm. And then look how he pleads, how he prays to God in verse 12. If I could have that verse, please. O our God, Jehoshaphat, beseeches God, will you not execute judgment upon them? You know, God could have destroyed them before, but they remained. He's still trusting in God to judge them, to deliver. For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We don't know what to do. But our eyes of faith, excuse me, I added, but our eyes are on you. What is it today? What trouble? So powerful, overwhelming. Is it a health concern, yours, or a loved one? Financial challenges, relationship conflicts, a grief you can't seem to shake. Truth be known, you find yourself perhaps quietly crying out to God. Friends, I can assure you that posture, that dependent, that childlike faith, if you will, when you cry out to God, God will not turn you away. We do not know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. To just pray into the situations. Pray into them. God responds. I'm not sure what the timing is. You know, maybe it was just a couple minutes later. I'm not sure. Maybe it was another gathering. But what God does is the Spirit comes upon a prophet named Jehazel, and he tells all of Judah that is gathered that God will protect them. In the latter part of verse 15, he says, do not fear. This is the prophetic word of God to the people of God who have gathered. Do not fear or be dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then in 17, we read, the battle, again, is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord your God on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. It sounds, you know, this sense of standing still. It's not inaction. It's engaged faith. What's going on here is standing on the word of God, in particular the promises of God. You're standing on that, immersing. These people were immersed in the word of God. Now the word of God comes to, as a living word through this prophet, and they're standing on it. And then it is about kind of waiting on the Holy Spirit, you know, the prompting of the Spirit. And then as the Spirit leads, only then stepping out in faith, but standing still to be sure. I want you just to look at, we see this again in Exodus. If I could have the passage from Exodus. The setting here is, this is Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And the people of Israel have just been delivered, right, through the plagues. They're now, you know, they've come all the way, and the Red Sea is before them. And then behind, the Egyptians are in hot pursuit. What have we done? We've let them go. Let's go after them. And the people are crying out, you know, Moses, what are you doing? You brought us out here to get slaughtered? And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Again, fixing the eyes of faith on God in the midst of whatever challenge. Would you say that's what you do when a formidable foe comes against you? I'm not sure what you're all thinking, but you're all pretty quiet out there. Trusting the Spirit is at work. In 18, we are told, in response to this prophetic word, that all of Judah, you know, they just, in 18, they just, you know, just on their knees, and they're just praising God, falling before God, worshiping. And then something very interesting happens. As the people were bowed down in worship, we read then in verse 19, if your Bibles are open. And then the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. With a very loud voice. Who are these people that are kind of, you know, standing up to praise God? If you go back to 1 Chronicles 6:31, you read how David, King David, put men in charge of the service of song in the house of God, in the house of the Lord, and how they ministered with song before the tabernacle, before the tent of the meeting. In other words, this group of people praising God were not just some charismatic free spirits, if you will. They were the choir of Israel. They were the choir of Israel. 20, he exhorts, Jehoshaphat does, exhorts Judah and the inhabitants to believe in the Lord and how they will be established in their faith and trust in the promises of God, the word of God. Then he appoints his frontline troops. Who are the frontline troops, if you know this text? It's not the cheers of the swordsmen, it's the what? The singers. The singers go before. Are you kidding me? Well, God said the battle belongs to the Lord. He will do the fight. What better way to live that out than with songs of victory in the front ranks? And they go out singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. It's clear the battle belongs to the Lord. It's God who gives the victory. But the means through which God gives the victory is the praise of God's people in the ministry of the choir and praise. And then as they go out in 22, we read, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, the Moabites on Mount Seir, who had come against Judah as they were routed. As they were routed. My friends, when you read on, the rout was so vast that it took 3 days for the people of Israel to carry off the spoils. How important praise is for the people of God as God fights to overcome our enemies. Do you recall Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas. They're thrown, they're beaten with rods, they're put into stocks, and delivered into the dark inner chambers of the prison. They cry out to God, rightfully so, in prayer, important. But also we read in verse 25 of Acts 16, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. We think, are you crazy, singing hymns to God in such dire circumstances, crying out? Prayer, certainly, but singing. But in that story, read too of God's great mercy and how suddenly an earthquake, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's fetters were unfastened. Friends, it really is in the midst of formidable foes, things going bad in our life, situations that are less. It really is the presence of God, the working of God's Spirit, and the Spirit fills us through praise and worship. Do you believe that? That as you sing into challenges and problems, That the Spirit, just emboldens us. Faith is spoken into our lives and we're filled. That's why what Paul says in Ephesians, if I could have that passage. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and make melody to the Lord in your hearts. A powerful tool against the enemy. Someone said, I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil. I sing the doxology, I dismiss the devil. Two important applications. That God does raise up people. Do you have the gift of music? I don't. That's clear. But some of you have the gift of music. And perhaps it's not being engaged fully and employed on behalf of God's people in leading people in the praise and worship of God. There's choir, there's praise band. Talk to John, In truth, really, we think, I really like the music, Well, that's good. But this is spiritual warfare. Again, the buoying of our faith as we're equipped to do battle in a fallen world. And here's the second important application, the life tool of praise. So I invite you to take out this sheet again. We'll finish up here. Praise will again result in the Spirit breathing faith, speaking faith into our life. So look at that list. You might want to add a thing or two. I have, just praying. I mean, the challenge of raising my 21-year-old daughter is probably one of my biggest challenges. And it's a challenge. And some things that went down in 2018. Those are some of the, there's other items too, some grief, some losses. But you might want to add something. But really then, engaging this life tool of praise in prayer, let go of your desire, number one. Let go of your desire to know why this happened. Life is a mystery. Things happen. We live in a fallen world. We don't fully understand all things. We walk by faith, not by sight. But just to pray, to say, God, you're sovereign. God, you know what you're doing here. I trust you, God. Number two, praying, letting go of your expectations to have a life without problems. When something happens, do we always think, why is this happening to me, right? Well, we live in a fallen world, a broken world. We have a sinful flesh. We have an enemy. Jesus says, in this world, you'll have trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. Scott Peck wrote the book, The Road Less Traveled. He said, life is difficult. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. All right, you know that by now. And number three, by praising God, acknowledging the sovereignty of God, and as Emily shared in that opening, that God works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. In the midst of a situation when something bad happens, immediately we say it's bad, nothing good. But isn't it amazing as we walk in faith, we realize God used that for some greater purpose, some greater good? It's true, is it not? So, praising God, acknowledging God's sovereignty, his grace, that he can work for good in all situations, even though we can't see it or fathom it. And number four then, continuing to praise God in the midst of life and situations that are just not always that good, right? And just continuing that. That's why we encourage. That's why we gather on Sunday. That's why we continue to do that. So in closing, let me share with you a story. And I've shared with you about this person, this man of faith before, but Jim Elliot. On January 8th, 1956, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries approached the jungle edge, Ecuador, where a tribe of Indians, a remote tribe of Indians, lived. Their last recorded act, according to Elizabeth Elliot, Jim's wife, was to sing a hymn together. We go in faith, our great weakness feeling, and needing more each day thy grace to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pealing, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. All five of them were killed that afternoon, but they too were protected, even in death, protected and delivered by God, protected from a fate far worse than death, from cowardice, unbelief, and fear. And I think it would be fair to say protected with song, a hymn. By the grace of God, Lord, let's pray. God, we pray. Lord, some of this, what we share from your word, is just incomprehensible from our natural human inclination and logic. But I thank you, God, for the Spirit that is present in our lives, that it brings your word to life in our lives. And we ask for the grace, God, and in particular now, the grace, God, to just begin by praising you in the midst of our lives, situations, troubles that are less than perfect, or situations where we wish we could just change them with a flip of the switch. But we're trusting, God, we're relying upon you, that as we praise you, as your Spirit, you know, breathes faith into us, that you will strengthen us for the battle. Strengthen us in faith, because you tell us by our faith we are more than conquerors through you, God, who loves us. So, Lord, give us the grace to live out this tool, this life tool of praise. Trusting you, Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.